the pews in front of you. Feel free to go ahead and pull one out tonight and turn over to Luke chapter 2. Well, it is good to see everybody tonight. I want to welcome our visitors. We're so glad to have you. Just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And we love you too. So if you got your Bibles now open, and by the way, I made the announcement earlier, if you've come in just the last few minutes, if you've attended here any time at all in the last year or so, check your mailboxes right in the back, because it's likely that you have Christmas cards back here. So make sure you take those home tonight. So Luke chapter 2, look in verse 1 through 6. Tonight's message is called The Presence. The Presence. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So in this passage, this very famous passage, we have a brief narration of the birth of the Messiah. And of course, this is why we celebrate Christmas. It's the commemoration of the birth of our Lord. I know the world tries to make it about a whole lot of other things, but it's about the birth of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. It may seem obvious, but maybe you've never thought about it before. Why did Joseph and Mary name their baby Jesus? Does anyone know? An angel told them that that's what his name will be. We all know that part, right? In case you're not familiar with it, turn to Luke chapter 1. Just go back a chapter. Look at verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. If a name was ever packed with significance, it is the name Jesus. Can I get an amen? Scripture says that Jesus has been given the name that is above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So Joseph and Mary did as they were instructed. Look over back, flip back to chapter 2, verse 21. So we're going to see them actually fulfill this commandment. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. We're going to have a little fun right now. But there might be a problem with his name being Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but for nearly 700 years, there was a prophecy that said when the Messiah was going to be born, his name would be something else. Conservatively, I read recently that there are over 365 Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled to the letter. Flip back into Isaiah chapter 7 in the Old Testament. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. It's good that you would look at this. It'll be Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Whoa! Stop the presses, okay? She's going to call his name Emmanuel? I thought we just read that she called his name Jesus. NASA, we have a problem, or do we? Here in Isaiah 7:14, it's prophesied that the Messiah would be called Emmanuel. You know, there are many names given to Jesus in the Old and the New Testaments, and Emmanuel is but one of them. It means God with us. Isaiah elsewhere prophesied of the Messiah that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus was never called by any of those names by the people he met in Judea, Nazareth, and those areas in Galilee. But they are accurate descriptions of who he is and what he does. Flip back to Luke chapter 1, verse 32, talking about Jesus, the angel telling Mary, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So the angel said that Jesus will be called the Son of the Most High and the Son of God. But neither was his given name. His given name was Jesus. So as you can see, really, there is no controversy at all. Jesus is his name. But these other names by which he is called are descriptions of what he does. And perhaps out of all the names by which he is called, Emmanuel, or Emmanuel, that last, the E-L, denotes Jehovah, Lord, has become the most prominent. God is with us. He's not only up there in the clouds somewhere. He is not unknowable or unreachable. He has not left us to our own like some cosmic clock maker who winds the clock up and just lets it go. He is with us. One of the most comforting aspects of God's character that Jesus made known was that he and the Father are not only with us, but will never leave us. That should be comforting. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, this is what Jesus says. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, which means I'm never going to leave you, ever. This is Emmanuel, God with us. As we studied the four themes of Advent this month, we looked at hope, peace, joy, and love, and how these themes were wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. We learned that because God is with us, living in us, we do not have to live without hope. There is always hope in Jesus. He is also our peace. And with Christ in us, we have peace with the Father, and we can have peace wherever we are, because it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You see, when the world is falling apart, when the storms come, and they always come, I'm going through a storm right now that's unimaginable. When the darkness surrounds us, we can have peace. Because Jesus is Emmanuel with us and in us, we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be anxious. Jesus is on the job. And when the enemy comes to steal our joy, he can't have it. Because our joy is not based on circumstances. Our joy is in Christ Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the devil can't take what we don't give him. We reach for Jesus' joy when it is hard to muster our own. It's a choice we make because Jesus has not left us. His joy is in us. Finally, when it's hard to love, Jesus makes it possible because He loves. He lives in us, making it possible to do what by our own strength is often difficult to do. I could ask for a show of hands. Have you ever had trouble loving somebody? And probably every hand would go up in here. Sometimes it can be difficult to do. But Jesus says, my church is going to be known by my love for one another. Through the power of Jesus Christ living in us and because God is with us, we can love as He tells us to love. And it is by grace that any of these things are possible. Hope, peace, joy, love. Therefore, we must abide. If Jesus has all these things wrapped up in Him, we must abide in Him. In John 15:4, Jesus says these very words. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The fruits that Jesus is talking about is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Galatians and Colossians, we read that one of the first gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives us is the ability to love others, not by our own strength, but by the strength of Jesus living in us. So as I said on Sunday, that I will show you how to abide in Jesus. I've been making this statement over and over again these last four Sundays, that when we find that our hope meter is running a little low, we've got to spend some time with Jesus, the author of our hope. When our peace meter is running a little low and we're finding ourselves anxious and worried, we spend a little time with Jesus, right? The Prince of Peace. When our joy is about this big, what's the solution? Spend a little time with Jesus. And when our love is hard to do, maybe tonight, you're like, man, I can't love that person. I barely like them. Lord, you asked me to love them? When our love meter is small, the solution is to spend more time with Jesus. That's the answer. That's always the answer when we're finding ourselves by our own strength and our flesh, just barely surviving. We're not thriving. We're barely surviving. The answer, the well where the deep water is spend more time with Jesus. So I'm going to give you three ways that we spend more time with Jesus. A couple of these you're probably going to guess because we talk about it a lot in here. The Bible is the first one because Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. In John 1:14 it says, and the Word which is Jesus, which is the very words of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we're finding those things I just mentioned small in our life, spend some time in the Word. The Word is Jesus. The Word became flesh. The Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. We spend time in there, we're spending time with Jesus. That's the first thing. Pretty much everybody knows that, right? My Bible, I got to be reading my Bible. But more than just reading, spending time in it. The second thing is, can you guess what it is? Yeah, it's prayer. But it's not exactly what you think it is. I'm going to add a little curve to it right now. Christmas is a great time for imagination, isn't it? It's a time when we use our imaginations. Up until, you know, we're a certain age, we're imagining one thing. And then as we get older, we're imagining another thing. And as we read the Bible story of Jesus being born, you know, the shepherds, the wise men, we just kind of sit back and we, We just kind of see it all unfold in our vision, don't we? In our imagination. God gave us our imagination to be used, not just to be used as kids, but even as we grow older in Him. So here's why I even bring this up. Sometimes when we're praying, it's hard to do. I mean, He is invisible, right? You're like, okay, I'm pretty sure He's here in the room somewhere. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to go through the motions. I want to encourage you to use your imagination when you pray. I want you to picture Jesus in the room with you. Liana has a, if you've ever caught her blog, she had one of the blogs where she talked about spending time with Jesus. And a little tool to help stir the imagination to deepen that time of prayer is setting an empty chair at the table. You got one for you, you got one for somebody else, and then you got this one sitting here. And with your imagination, you have Jesus set in it. And then begin praying. I'm telling you, it helps. It helps imagining because He is listening to you. He's listening. He's here right now. He's listening to us. The Bible says that every word that we said is being jotted down. And there's a reason, because somebody's listening. And Jesus knows every word. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. But if we can use our imagination when we're praying, I'm telling you, it's going to make the prayer experience much richer. God gave us our imagination. Let's use it for good and not for bad, right? Like, our imagination can be used for some pretty bad things. Let's use it for good. And then the third is to practice His presence. Well, Pastor, that sounds great. Practice His presence. How in the world do I do that? That's what I want to show you tonight. It's not as hard as it might seem, but I'm going to tell you the payout is amazing. So I'm going to ask you what I'm doing on a couple things. And when you figure it out, just kind of shout it out. And I'm going to tell you how it works, practicing the presence of Jesus. Anybody seen one of these in the last few days? All right. I'm shoveling snow, right? Lord, I just thank You for this day. Man, I thank You for this snow. Man, I thank You that I'm able to even do this. And by the way, Lord, when's it going to stop snowing? It's, man, it's so unbelievably cold. I saw a cat frozen stiff in the parking lot this morning. Man, I love You so much. I want to thank You. Just thank You. I'm practicing the presence of Jesus, right? No matter what I'm doing. See if you can guess this one here. No, I'm driving a tractor in the field. That's how you do it, right? Like, I think nowadays you just press a button and it drives for you. So here's how you practice the presence of Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank You for this day. Man, thank You for this car. Man, I'm sorry for messing up earlier today. I know I really blew my mouth off at that person at Walmart. I didn't really mean it. I was just kind of venting. Lord, thank You so much. Just thank You for being in my life. God, it would be possible that I have a divine intervention with somebody today. That would be awesome. Would You give me the strength and the grace to be bold as I speak to them and tell them about You? Right? Man, that's simple. That's simple. What about this? No, I'm not going to do this. I have no idea what that is, but I wanted to tell you that even doing that, I could practice the presence of Jesus. Lord, would You just walk with me as I'm doing something crazy? You know, I'm just doing nonsense. Lord, would You just hang out with me? I don't know what to do with my time. But I do want to let You know that I love You. And I thank You for all that You've done in my life. I thank You for the church. I thank You for the sound team. Father, I thank You for all those that You brought here tonight. God, I thank You for dying for me on the cross. I thank You for being born again. Man, that is practicing the presence of Jesus. No matter what you're doing, you can be sitting watching TV and practicing the presence of Jesus. Man, those three things, what are they? Reading your Bible, right? And not just zipping through it, but man, spending some time with it, okay? And the next thing is prayer, using our imagination. And then the third thing is practicing the presence of Jesus. And when we're doing those things, we are abiding with Him. And I'm telling you, when the joy meter's down, when the hope meter and peace and love meter are down, you start doing those things, and Jesus will infuse those things into you. He will. He'll put them into you. And next thing you know, you'll be walking, and suddenly, man, who cares what's going on? Who cares what's going on? Because our joy, our love, and our hope is not based on circumstances. It's based on Jesus. And when we have Him and He's close to us, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for those that You have brought tonight. Father, maybe there was something that was said that someone needed to hear. Maybe their peace has been a little ruffled by the enemy. They need some Jesus. Maybe from where they're standing, things look a little dark, and they need a little hope, and they need a little Jesus. Joy to the World is just a song this Christmas for many. It's hard to find joy. It's hard to love. Man, if you're here tonight, and those things have been low in your life, and you just need a little bit of Jesus, I'm going to ask that you would say this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I need more Jesus. And Jesus, I ask that You would come and live in my heart, so that it would be no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. I accept Your love, Your hope, and Your peace, and Your joy. Father, give me the grace of Christ that I can live through Him. And I receive Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.